Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of
Legends Only.
My name is T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley.
And this is your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about
Legends Only. Put your fucking paws up.
We have things to discuss today.
We sure do.
Well, before we get into this week, we would like to give a shout out to all of our supporters over on patreon.com/legends only. Stay tuned every week for an after show, jam-packed every week, pretty much.
Stuffed.
Last week's after show was longer than the main episode, so.
It outsold. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a doozy as well, because we are entering the world of
Chromatica.
The museum of,
yeah, I forget what she called it.
Brutality.
Death trap. Oh, yeah.
The death to all of them museum.
Just say concrete.
Yeah. Minimalism. Mm-hmm. Brutalism.
Minecraft.
I did an internship once at the Museum of Brutality. They didn't pay.
Is that real?
No.
Oh. I was like, oh, is that what that bank
I'm
is
I'm running
called?
With the museum concept. I'm pretending this is a real thing at this point.
We've all worked at a job that's a museum of brutality, honestly.
We sure have.
Ugh.
Sure have.
Yes, well, we will be discussing our Stephanie later.
In the after show, where we talk about things after,
after the show. It's a concept there.
It's a concept we came up with ourselves.
Don't know if anyone gets it.
Nobody's
it's
ever
a little,
done it.
It's a little too niche.
It's a little too ahead of its time. Oh, but you know what's right on time? Well, 20 years late, actually, some would say.
Yeah, we jumped dimensions again.
We sure did. Yes, it's what's old is new, and what's 2002 is now.
Mm-hmm.
Bennifer is back, and they are married.
No!
Breaking. Oh my god.
Oh really?
Kidding.
Wow, you've got one out for Miss Bennifer.
That's not true.
Whom I don't know.
That's right.
I actually have to stand this wedding moment from J-Lo.
Me too.
Because it was kind of a secret.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't anymore.
Yeah. She made the announcement officially through her newsletter, which we have to stan an entrepreneur. We making business moves. And honestly, yeah, so they got married in Vegas. They got the marriage license. And
we
that's
got
how.
The yacht. We got the yacht.
That's how the outlets found out, because once you register, you know, with the county for the license, then it's public information. And they got the document, and it said Jennifer Affleck on it. She requested
Affleck
designated a name change.
I can't unhear that
the duck.
Yeah. When I see his name.
He officiated
the
wedding.
Am I alone in this? Yeah. Jennifer Affleck.
You take Affleck to be your lawfully wed.
I would change my name if that was like, because I can't unhear it.
Yeah, now she's J-Aff. Doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Ooh.
But the thing I really liked about this, and it is a bit unexpectedly emotional, actually, is in her newsletter, available, I don't know what her website is, jlo.com probably, she wrote, "We did it." And I'll just say, you know, a wedding is a perfect time to be completely narcissistic and only talk about yourselves and your love and whatever. So I was very taken aback. Did you see this? She did in the beginning of her wedding announcement, she wrote, "We did it. Exactly what we wanted. Last night, we flew to Vegas, stood in line for a license with four other couples, all making the same journey to the wedding capital of the world. Behind us, two men held hands and held each other. In front of us, a young couple who made the 3-hour drive from Victorville on their daughter's second birthday. All of us wanting the same thing, for the world to recognize us as partners and to declare our love to the world through the ancient and nearly universal symbol of marriage."
Speaking of gay...
It was
really sweet. Touched. She made a statement with this.
She did not have to include that detail. And at a time where rights are being stripped left and right, and now there's conversations happening around gay marriage again, I felt this was very intentional and admirable, as small a gesture as it may be, to use your wedding announcement to include a detail about something vaguely political and affirmative in support of gay marriage. I thought that was really a great thing that she did. And so now we're on the Bennifer train and we stand harder than ever. Tens across the board for this one.
Now we just need the music of 2004 to make a comeback.
We sure do. It's been a minute since she did an album, actually. I would live...
That's when they were last together, right?
Yeah, it was like 2002 to 2004.
Okay, yeah.
And then 20 years later, remixed, reimagined, and here they are again. So, shout out to Bennifer.
I don't want to slay her.
I'm joking.
Not today,
you guys know any excuse that I have to open the Mariah page of the soundboard,
yeah.
I'm perched. So I'm joking. But I knew today, I was like, oh, I get to use the Mariah soundboards.
This is your treasure trove today.
Yes.
Yes.
Let me have my moment, okay?
This is your moment.
Yeah.
I was having a moment.
I'm just not going to talk the rest of the episode and only speak in
You basically
this soundboard.
Do that. Yeah, it's basically just soundboardisms.
What if I wasn't joking and I just sat here and refused to say anything?
I think it would be a successful episode.
Lord, let me count the ways.
Oh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Congratulations, J-Lo. Speaking of old is new, old music, new music...
Okay, I heard you were doing this song.
You really do have something for everything.
I really do.
Well, the legendary Miss Britney Spears posted a video very unexpectedly in her laundry room, right? Laundry room? She was doing laundry.
I think.
That was the concept. Singing none other than her debut 1998 single, Baby One More Fucking Time.
Heard of it.
Heard of it? Remixed, remastered. Still fucking iconic.
Yeah, now uncensored.
And it was the 2022 laundry edit. Yes. Just a little impromptu sing along, as we all do when we're folding laundry. Very relatable. And basically in the caption, she was saying how frustrated she was because she always wanted to do a different arrangement of the song and that she was never allowed to. Which originally I was confused because I remember the Onyx Hotel version. Obviously very different.
Iconic.
But... you know, through the tours in later years, really it was the instrumentation that changed. And so I think she's talking about the vocal arrangement, because the version that she sang, she changed all of the harmonies and melodies like that. So I think, you know, that's what she's saying. And I think the nice thing about this also, the unexpected thing, is there's this perception around her and pop stars in general that they don't get the music or care and things like that. And it's cool that she actually cared enough about the song that she felt strongly that she wanted to do a different vocal arrangement of it through the years. It just shows that she cares about her artistry. Sometimes people, especially like with pop stars, they just assume they're not in it for the artistry. So that was a cool
Or little... they're embarrassed by olds.
Mm-hmm.
Songs.
Right, right, right.
Mandy Moore, I'm looking at you.
Mandy Moore. Steamrolling all of her old CDs yeah. in a pile. But yeah, obviously there was a lot of different feedback. I will say it was lower register-y. We've talked about, we had a little podcast about Britney, and we've talked about vocal knee over the years, and she was serving lower register, deep knee. And
which is album one.
Album one.
For the deep mm-hmm. fans.
Yes. Some people don't know that she even sang like that. Although by Glory, we were getting some What You Need singing. And the truth is also, aside from everything else that's going on in her life, it's been 7 years since the album. Yeah. 6 or 7 years since the album sessions. So she's not
of
exactly.
Of Glory.
Of Glory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Glory. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Of those sessions. So, you know. Because I don't like to see the comments, obviously.
No.
In general, but I'm just happy that she felt that she wanted to share that. And
this yeah. reminded me of when she did a DIY music video to Breathe On Me on her Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a deep cut
yeah.
that she loves.
Well, this is not necessarily a deep cut. I would say this is a somewhat well-known song.
Oh, well... She's making a new cut of a classic.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Yes. This unheard gem. Yes, I agree. I mean,
she's going deep in her
heart
catalog.
Oh,
and in her heart.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that.
Yeah. Well, it's still her, and you can hear the anger in her voice when she hits that fucking time. We'll see. We'll see what comes. I mean, truly, we never know. There was some feedback on TikTok as well.
There was.
Yeah.
From the Honest vocal coach.
Yes.
Who is a vocal coach that is honest. She said, sounding really good.
And there you have it. Case closed.
And she scalped Swimming in the Stars.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, kind of. A little.
All right.
So she's...
She's honest.
She's honest about her opinion.
Yeah.
I don't want people thinking that I share the same opinion about Swimming in the Stars, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're a big Swimming in the Stars fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bop.
Bop, bop, bop. You know, it was a break from the fashion halls. However, there were some fashion moments this week.
Which means that I think it's time for a little segment we like to call...
High Fashion! So editorial.
Guys, this is awesome.
This is a billboard.
This is super high fashion.
Oh my God, that's so high fashion.
So high fashion.
Okay, so mine is Chromatica Ball.
Yeah.
Which we will be discussing as a whole later.
We sure will. And mine, aside from Chromatica Ball, is very unexpectedly a Canadian legend by the name of Carly Slay Jepsen posted this photo set in front of a mirror. Nope, not a mirror. A window. She wrote, London, I do love you. She looked amazing.
This
she
is
got
a
this
slay.
High slit in the pants. The blonde hair is looking great. She just looks fantastic. I don't know if this is for something. She does have a new song out called Move Me with Lewis Offman. And she did post another stellar photo shoot in a sort of like a suit.
It's a good suit.
A suit. She's having a fashion moment, ladies and gentlemen. She is having a fashion moment in London right now. So whenever we get... dedicated side D or whatever's coming, we are ready for the western winds to blow our way.
Emotion side C.
Emotion side Q incoming. Hopefully not Q, actually. We don't need her going down that path.
Oh, I thought you meant like Q the like bar. I was like,
oh, we don't need her going down any
yeah,
Q
we don't
path.
Need her going there either.
All paths to Q lead to darkness,
yeah.
Ladies and gents.
I totally, that flew right over my head. I was like, wait, what?
Well, like, understandably, the Q's
been
a hot topic.
Where was Carly Rae Jepsen on January 6th? She's like, oh, I was recording Emotion Side B.
Known American nationalist, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, let's get lost on... Anyway.
L.A. hallucinations over here. All right. Well, actually, speaking of delusional girls, I think we should move right along to a confrontation no one saw coming.
No.
Proof that we are still in the wrong timeline, that we are in desperate need of someone to swing us back. Can the James Webb Space Telescope please fling us back into the right universe? Because we are, it's all bad right now.
Yeah.
I think it's time for a little bit of
TikTok talk.
Someone needs to throw a frap in this one's face. Alt-right influencer Christian Walker got into a spat with singer-songwriter Kehlani at a Starbucks drive-thru.
Act the fool, girl.
I'm here.
Act the fool.
After she allegedly told everyone inside, or the baristas, she vaguely said something along the lines of, watch yourselves, stay yeah. safe, or something, because this one's crazy. Which was...
because she saw him screaming yeah. at himself in his car.
I'm sure. And she made points. And so he confronted her in her car. She looked stunning.
That is the whole gag of this whole thing. Oh, she looked
she's like looking radiant in the sun,
relaxed,
smiling,
and
as
unbothered,
he's
clear skin,
spinning and ranting about blue hair liberals, and she's unbothered and beautiful.
She's just like, I've switched baristas.
Yeah.
It's literally that.
He can stay mad, and really he should be worrying about his own family right now and their drama, because he's got more than enough to deal with. Shouldn't you be chatting with your other siblings? Anyway, Kehlani came out unscathed and unbothered.
Stream Kehlani.
Stream Kehlani.
All of it. Whole catalog.
Which Christian Walker would say, because he tweeted about stanning her up until this moment. So we love a hypocrite.
The things that clowns do for attention.
Clownery. Clown God. University.
Did you see, though, the American Girl doll account,
mm-hmm.
which is called like Helicity or something. Mm-hmm. I post it all the time on my IG stories. Did you see their Be Real meme that they made?
No.
Do you know what Be Real is?
Yes. It's like you have to take a picture in the moment.
Yeah. It's front facing and the other one, and it takes it at the same time. And if you retake it, it tells everyone that you retook it, which is like embarrassing.
Oh, okay.
So I just like take it and just like the ugliest photos ever, but I kind of
it's
like it.
It's just so that everybody knows what everybody's doing at all hours.
So what happens is everyone, this sounds like an ad. This is not sponsored. I should honestly not even be talking about them.
Uh-huh.
But at a certain time, everyone in the world will get the notification. So it'll be like 5 o'clock and everyone gets pinged. And at 5 o'clock, you have 2 minutes to just be like, be real. Or if you post it late, it says you posted it late. If you retake your photos, it like,
calls you out. The point of this is to
be real.
Okay. And you are in like a circle, or if it's the whole world can see your pic.
I don't know. I only have people that I know in real life added.
Okay.
But yeah.
I've seen the screenshots of it.
Mm-hmm. But now it's becoming memes.
Yeah.
The Be Real memes are coming out, and the American Girl doll account did the front facing camera is the doll, and then the back facing camera is the selfie of Christian Walker and HRH Collection. And it was like, be real. And it was, that was her update for the day, like the American Girl doll. But it just cracks me up that there's certain American Girl dolls now that have a storyline. If you're following the saga, you'll get it.
Yeah. But I am loving the American Girl doll memes.
There's the one that has the side ponytail that's like the QAnon American Girl doll.
Right.
You just have to laugh. Otherwise.
You do.
Yeah.
Or you'll just be embarrassed. Just like Cardi B, who's embarrassed herself. Cardi tweeted on July 15th, Beyonce heard me singing You Won't Break My Hole, and now I'm embarrassed. Everybody else is singing that too.
I was going to say, I feel like Beyonce's heard us all.
She knew what would happen when she put this song out.
You know, she's like on her alt TikTok account.
Uh-huh.
Scrolling, and she's probably seeing it all.
I believe there's even footage of her. Yes, there is of her. She said it on a live in front of 60,000 people. She just posted it.
A relatable queen.
Relatable queen. Promo for the song.
Beyonce's
still no video.
Also on TikTok.
She is. Not that she's physically on it yet.
No. She just did a mashup.
Yeah. But she is coming to TikTok. Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't see her doing it.
I don't see her doing it. But maybe Blue Ivy set her up for this. Her manager.
Oh, maybe.
Bossed her around and said, you're going to get your ass on TikTok, you irrelevant rat. You better get on TikTok, mom.
Although if she does, it would feel very Selena Gomez-esque in the sense that it's someone who's super elusive, but also knows all the memes. And I feel like it could be really...
Yeah.
If
I just
she does
feel like Blue Ivy
it...
bosses her around for real. And I feel like she's probably like, mom, get on TikTok.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a Blue Ivy decision. For sure. Well, it comes right ahead of the release of Renaissance, and it comes, you know, as we start the promo for Break My Hole. So it's right on time. We'll see.
It's been quiet for...
Has been too quiet.
A week.
Too quiet.
In the Beyonce-verse.
I'm sure things are brewing. I feel like a whole filmography is coming. I feel like it's not just the Break My Soul video.
I feel like I hope it's a 90-minute nonstop musical
dance music video.
Yeah
me too.
Her Vogue whatchamacallit
cover,
no, the accompanying piece.
Oh,
what
yes,
would that even
like
be called?
The visual film from the photo shoot, the photo shoot behind the scenes video is enough of a music video, to be honest, for now.
Yeah,
it's really good. Everyone was like, oh, the video dropped, and at first I thought it was because it seemed like it could be.
Oh, yeah, the stands were posting it on YouTube.
Yeah, well, they're because sometimes people don't put out content. And so fans have to take it into their own hands, including...
She's starting.
Little rays of sunshine, put your paws up. Miss Addison Rae is at it again, or should I say not at it again, because she remains absent, even though she's trending. Once again... We've had the I Got It Bad revolution of 2021 to 2022. It's been crickets from her, except for when she tweets lyrics from it. And now her latest unreleased smash in the making, To Die For, is now trending. The girls are singing along to it on TikTok. Shy Girl did a performance to it. It even went viral because it was mistakenly heard as her saying her poom poom is to die for. In fact, it is boom boom bass to die for. It got so loud on Twitter that she had to tweet out the correct lyric just to clarify for the girls. She said, I'm not releasing it, but you got the lyrics wrong. Charlie XCX retweeted it, which is how you know it's never coming out. It's just
this really is the third
surge
of virality around her music.
Halsey's label is pulling out their hair watching this. They're like, she's literally going viral left and right without trying on TikTok.
And won't release.
Won't release. She will release a paid advertisement for Samsung. Popped
Are
up.
You getting these on everything?
I just started getting it.
I have been getting them nonstop.
I was loading up a K-pop video this morning and I saw Miss Addison Rae humming. Was it I Got a Feeling? Was it a Black Eyed Peas song?
The one I've been seeing is the Backstreet Boys song.
No, it's Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
It's Backstreet. I don't know why I thought it was Black Eyed Peas. Backstreet Boys. Yeah, they like sing, hum the song in a Shazam-esque way for this phone, right?
Yeah.
She could be humming To Die For or I Got It Bad or Obsessed, but she's not. She's been tweeting the lyrics. I don't know what she's doing.
Me neither.
There's some sort of experiment. This is a social experiment happening.
She is serving more choreo than most of the girls can do in that Samsung commercial.
Oh, well, yes. Yes, it must be said. That's true.
One of my friends, I was out last week, and I have a friend of mine who's not super anti-pop, but he loves Charlie XCX. He's kind of like, he's not mainstream pop. He likes underground Charlie XCX, that kind of vibe. he was complimenting. Yeah. He was complimenting Addison Rae. He was like, that performance that she did on Late Night and that song is so good. And I was like, excuse me, wait a minute. Are you going to sit here at this table and compliment Addison Rae? You? I was shocked.
She's causing everybody to reconsider their crimes.
Mm-hmm.
All the shit they said about her.
And a lot of people on Twitter, like mutuals,
oomphs.
I see. Mm-hmm, oomphs.
Oomph retractions.
Like, oomphs that I know in real life who I don't think would ever be interested in Addison.
Yeah.
I see tweeting about the music.
It's kind of genius. It's created such a thirst that now locals are interested. It might be one big strategy that's going to work out for her. I don't know.
Yeah, it just needs like another single to push
anything,
it.
Really.
Not that the other ones are bad, but I think she could come out with another smash with a video and then just drop it all.
Well, we'll see. The Addison Renaissance is coming soon.
She should just rename it.
She should.
And sit on a horse. And then everyone will be like, oh my God, she's copying Beyonce. But then they'll be talking about her. So then it'll sell and get attention.
Yep. Well, speaking of renaissances, actually, there's another song that's going viral.
Finally, the kids.
Finally, Enough Love for Alexis Jordan, the enduring anthem.
Bop. Bop, 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 bop.
Happiness is having a huge moment on TikTok. The one format I've seen of it used is where it's like things men have said to me, and then they bop along to like various offensive things, which that's a format.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like an ironic happiness.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The one I saw seemed to be a format people were following was Jill Zarin's daughter did when people asked me about being a kid on Real Housewives. And then she listed off all the questions.
Yeah, it's basically like unwanted opinions, questions, or things.
Got it.
I think is basically the format. And you just like, through it all.
Oh, it plays like a full 45 seconds?
It's a longer one. Yeah.
The song?
She's getting the streams, for sure. I wonder, actually, just how much it's caused a blip, because these things pop up so fast. Alexis Jordan, Happiness, now has 54 million on Spotify.
I am 52 million of those.
Absolutely. A million monthly listeners.
Wow.
Yeah. She's been getting some checks in the mail. Well, has she?
Deserved.
Let's see. Song credits.
Well, she'll be splitting them with Deadmau5.
Yeah, Deadmau5 and Stargate. I don't know how many credits.
Instrumental.
Really
it's getting. An interpolation. Honestly, she was ahead of her time now that I think about it. She interpolated that Deadmau5 song.
Yeah, I don't actually think she's on these credits either, so I don't know if she's getting anything.
But she sings.
She does sing, but she's not listed as a songwriter, which is where the money comes, so.
Oh.
I don't know if she's really.
Gotta turn that car around. So you don't get money if you sang it?
Only if you're a credited contributor to the song, like songwriter, usually is how it works, the splits, producer, songwriter.
Well, maybe that's why Addison Rae's album hasn't come out yet.
Well, maybe so. Except she writes.
Do you really get no money for being a singer?
I think it depends on what your deal is, but I, yeah.
Well, I can't sing, so I don't have to worry about that. But
the composer is like who makes the bulk of it. So I don't think maybe that she doesn't get any money, but I think it would be.
The splits are different.
Yes.
Got it.
Anyway.
I'm sad for Alexis Jordan, if that's true.
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
How can we ask her?
We can probably tweet her. I haven't checked in, but.
And we will put this on the Legends Only weekly. If you are wondering, we do have a playlist where every week we add all the songs that we talk about to Apple Music and Spotify. So you can quickly jump in and snatch them out and add them to your playlist too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got some music to discuss.
Martin Garrix is back with Sasha Sloan, Dallas X. The song is called Loop. It's a little darker. We stan. The lyrics are good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Love a emotional progressive house bop.
We sure do. Love Sasha Sloan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have some picks. Although, I'm sure you listened to this one, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The Light Singer is back, Ellie Goulding. with a new song called Easy Lover featuring Big Sean, her first in 2 years. It's about being a lover who is easy. Very relatable. And it's, yeah, it's actually, I really like it. It's a Greg Kurstin song. It's very Ellie.
It is, but it's also different.
It is.
And I like it.
Co-written with Julia Michaels.
Oh, did you see?
Uh-oh.
She deleted her Twitter.
I did see that, yes. Julia Michaels got into a little moment because of somebody else we're going to discuss very soon. Sabrina Carpenter. Well, she did not take kindly to a fan saying that they did not like Julia Michaels' penmanship.
Mm-hmm.
So she went off on the fan and then deleted. And I wish I could say I can't relate to that, but my God, do I relate to that.
Like, she was kind of spilling. Like, she just scalped this stand, and I was like,
yeah,
oh.
The desire to fucking annihilate and choke a person with 300 followers who's coming
not
for
even.
I let's just say I get it, Julia. Let's just
oh,
say.
Oh, same.
Anyway, instead she deleted. It's probably the best thing. So, well, she's what she is doing is getting royalties from Easy Lover. So if you would like to support her through this Twitter moment, stream Easy Lover on your favorite streamer.
I like the single art as well.
Me too. I'm excited. The press release said more music to come. So this is the beginning.
Album.
New era. Now, I have a new discovery that I would like to shout out. It came into my DMs. I was asked why I'm not talking about this queen of pop, and I don't know why, especially being half Polish myself. Her name is Doda, and she is, what I've gathered in my limited research, the Madonna of Poland.
Oh.
And she has a new song called My Melody, and she performed it at this beauty pageant national finale, very Heidi doing body language at Miss Universe.
Oh, legendary.
The performance, her look is incredible, and the song is definitely a bop. It's kind of like a dark synth pop bop, if you like Dua, BB, Rita, in that camp, basically. I'm going to put it on the playlist.
That's very kind
playlist.
To Rita.
That is very kind to Rita.
Thank you for that.
Legends like Rita Ora and BB Rexha, then you would like this one. It's I looked it up. Sure, she's got like scandal sections in her Wikipedia. She, the church is mad at her. She's definitely a queen of pop.
Slay.
Yep. And once you see her look from this performance, you'll get it. She's kind of giving you like Kermit or something. It's good. Or like Slater, actually. Anyway.
Oh me, oh my.
My melody.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna make you mine.
So check out Doda. Bop. And then we have a new one from Demi Lovato called Substance from the new album Fuck Love.
And when does this drop?
Oh no, it's not called Fuck Love. It's called Holy Fuck. Sorry.
When does this drop?
Oh.
The album? It's soon, right?
Yeah. Out August 19th. Holy Fuck. Eighth album by Demi Lovato. Led by Skin of My Teeth, which we heard already, and influenced by the rock roots of their first two albums, Don't Forget and Here We Go Again. And let me just say, the rock roots, they suit Demi's voice perfectly. Substance is instantly, like, perfect for Demi. It's a throwback to Emo Nights, I don't know, Sum 41, Avril.
Anne Berlin.
Anne Berlin, yes, Dashboard.
They're doing Brooklyn, Anne Berlin, by the way.
Mm. It's the pop punk that we needed, and it's all about how they're craving substance from human connections and that everything is vapid, and it's a double meaning because of Demi's well-known substance abuse issues. So to say, like, I'm craving substance was like, I see what
there's
you did there.
There's an edge to it.
There's an edge there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out especially to the final chorus. They're screaming about caskets and maggots and a head full of jack shit. It's really rock. I like to rock out. I like to throw things. I like to get mad.
It feels very cathartic.
It is very cathartic. And we've got a Paris Hilton cameo in the music video. Because
their connection.
Ongoing connection. To be honest, the Paris connection throughout Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Britney's wedding, Legendina's LA Pride, Demi's music video.
If a mogul.
If you've got something going on, Paris.
Are you a queen of pop? Call 1-800-PARIS now for your free consultation.
Honestly.
That's not a real number. Don't call that.
It might be.
It might be. You just call it right now. It's like, hey.
But yeah, shout out to Substance. Now there's some albums that we need to discuss as well. There were some big ones that the girls were ranting and raving about. First of all, we've talked about her a few times.
Let them know.
I think we should let them know. Miss Mabel is here with her new album.
Slay!
About Last Night. Bops on bops on bops.
Bops.
It's Bop City, if
bops.
You will. It is all of the hitmakers we love. MNEK, Ray. It's, I mean, actually a lot of these songs have already come out also that we've mm-hmm. talked about over the past few months. Highly recommend. The album kicked off with Let Them Know, which was like gay anthem. Good Luck, Overthinking.
Animal, bop. Crying on the Dance Floor, bop.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused by this because I thought it already came out because she's had so many singles.
Yeah. Yeah, Good Luck with Jax Jones and Galantis. Amazing. But yeah, a lot of singles. The favorite of the new tracks is definitely Animal and Definition, but also this other one, this bisexual one called I Love Your Girl. Love that with Rami. I mean, it's got all the names. All the girls are on this album. Steve Mack, Ilya, Stargate, SG Lewis, Jax Jones. It's a smorgasbord of top pop makers. And that's what we love, a pop album that's just like everything in the kitchen sink of the pop hit makers. Doesn't have to be a big
We're
statement.
All gonna have fun.
It's a fun album for the summer. Something fun, something for the summertime about dancing and bops.
And that's all we need
and
right now.
Really all we
times.
Need. Next, we have an album from Miss Thumbs Chanteuse herself, Sabrina Carpenter, called Emails I Can't Send. Now,
everybody's been doing emails.
Everyone's been not sending those emails, frankly. And take you back a little trip down memory lane. If you remember, a little song came out last year called Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. Do we remember that?
Heard of it.
Now, if you'll recall, at that time, it quickly became clear that the song was allegedly about a man, unfortunately, and a love triangle, specifically between Joshua Bassett and Sabrina Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, Sabrina was getting scalped for allegedly stealing Olivia's man, for coming in, being a homewrecker, a slut. Stans would just go in, really on both of them, but Sabrina got a lot of shit. And 2 years later, pretty much, I would say, she sort of synthesized those feelings into an album called Emails I Can't Send, which is probably like all the draft notes on her phone that she's like telling everyone to fuck off.
Honestly.
And that is, you know, that's a portion of the album for sure. She specifically calls it out in a song called Because I Liked a Boy, which came with a music video. And it's kind of the feature track of the album for obvious reasons. She goes in very unsubtly about the situation. She says, I'm a homewrecker. I'm a slut. I got death threats filling up semi-trucks. Tell me who I am. Guess I don't have a choice. All because I liked a boy. She went in. The album is great, first of all, but also it doesn't always have like very, very heavy moments. It's also got some fun. I really like Bet You Wanna, which is sort of like a You Left Me and Now You Want Me Back song. It's very good. And Read Your Mind. And in general, I mean, Sabrina's albums are great to me in general, but this is, I think, well, obviously her most personal to date and very topical considering she was dragged through the mud. So check out Emails I Can't Send and read her emails.
All that drama is literally the Hillary verse.
Oh,
it's Lindsay of Hillary, Gen Z.
Hillary, Lindsay, Aaron Carter.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the same thing.
Or Ashley Simpson doing boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's literally that.
Yeah, we just didn't have thousands of people on Twitter yelling at Hillary and Lindsay about it.
Only on TRL.
Just on TRL and in MySpace bulletins.
Right, like red carpets.
Right.
And SNL.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the nature of these things. But yeah, she like calls out all of the, like lyrically references a lot of Driver's License in that song. It's only right she gets to have her say.
Yeah. Hillary Duff did this with dignity, just saying.
She sure did.
Ahead of her time. The blueprint.
The blueprint, as they always refer to her.
She is.
Oh, and we've got another album to discuss. It's by Lizzo, and it is called Special. Now, you've already heard this album everywhere because you've heard About Damn Time just about everywhere. It's blowing up TikTok, smash hits. But there are two songs in particular I would like to call out, including To Be Loved, Am I Ready? A monstrous Max Martin smash. Very, very instant. Just, oh, that Max Martin. He just slays. And then another one, a disco bop called Everybody's Gay, which is Ian Kirkpatrick. He's worked with Britney.
Speaking of gay.
Really fun. I mean, the album in general is really up-tempo, really fun, really bright, really bops. So speaking of Special, it's a fun time. I recommend those tracks.
She's been all over New York.
Yeah, doing promo.
Doing like pop-ups, promo.
Mm-hmm. Busy. A mogul. A lot of music out right now, but we're going to put it all in the Legends Only weekly playlist for you to listen to and give us your feedback in the Discord and on Patreon. I have one more track that I actually wanted to call out last week, but then I hopped on a phone with her myself.
See, I was going to call this out last week too, but I was like, Brad will already say it because it's a bop.
And I did it myself. Yes.
It was on my release radar. She knows.
Mm-hmm. So Karen Harding is a UK singer-songwriter, often on dance collaborations, and she has a new song out called Other Side of Love, which I...
Bop. Ugh. Bop, 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 bop.
Love at First Play. It's from her upcoming record. She's putting out her solo debut. She's been going strong in the game since about 2014. She had a top 10 hit with the song Say Something with MNEK, who produced that. And she's since gone on to do a ton of collaborations with a bunch of names you know from dance acts over the years. Most recently, she worked with Royksopp, and she has a new track called Unity with them. She also wrote a track featured on Claire Richards of Steps Fame's album. She's everywhere now. Tons of features, tons of collabs, tons of co-writes. I'm really excited for her, and I had the opportunity to chat with her last week to discuss the song, everything she's been up to. We talked about her initial chat with MNEK, auditioning twice for X Factor, and that whole whirlwind of what the X Factor was, and what she's been up to since, writing for Claire, writing with Royksopp. It's a good chat, and yeah, we can learn a bit more about the dance scene, the dance vocalists, the girls, and it was a great time. So yeah, without further ado, this is my conversation with Karen Harding.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm great. Where are you right now?
I'm in Oxford, which is kind of like an hour out of London.
Oh, okay.
How about you?
I'm in New York.
Oh, lovely.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you come to New York?
Yeah. I've been like 3 or 4 times now. Yeah. Nice. I think it's like one of my favorite places to go there, actually. It kind of reminds us of London, but like even more intense.
It's definitely that. And when I go to London, I'm like, this is a nicer New York.
I really like New York. I couldn't see myself living there, but I just like the vibe of it.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and chat with me today. I've been following you for, I feel like, almost a decade now. 2014 was Say Something, 2015.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just chat with you, go all the way back, hear about your journey.
Okay. Amazing.
Awesome. Cool. To go all the way back, when did you start singing?
I started singing, I mean, like really far back, like when I first got my first ever karaoke machine from mum and dad, and it was a cassette one. So I had like 4 tracks, and they were Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, Careless Whisper, and 2 like other rubbish songs that I never sang. So it was just constantly like that when I was like 7. I did loads of like parties with my mom. She's Filipino, so she encouraged me to do like a lot of like Filipino parties and things like that. But that helped, I think, towards, you know, my confidence. It's like school and everything like that. I was doing a lot of singing then, did a lot of competitions and basically tried everything to get successful in singing. I remember thinking I was maybe like 16, 17. I was thinking, how am I going to do this? Like, how do you do it? How do you get recognized as a vocalist? I didn't think I was a songwriter at this point in my life. And I was just kind of putting covers up. I was playing in local bands. I was doing acoustic sets and around locally where I'm from, which is the northeast of England. And again, I was just thinking, how do you do it? Like, there's not really much up there. Like, it's quite quiet in the scene. And then Emanike messaged me, who I did Say Something with. He's an incredible talent. And it was just on Facebook. He wasn't feeling very well. And he messaged me just saying, like, I really love your voice. I think it was like a Mariah Carey fantasy cover or something like that that I put on YouTube. And he's like, yeah, I'd really love to work with you. So I saved up a bit of money, got the train to London. Like, we worked together and we wrote 2 songs then. And then I went back down like a year later and we did Say Something. So I guess it kind of all kind of worked up till that point. Like I said, I was trying to do absolutely everything I could to just find success in music. Don't get me wrong, like, success is still that I was able to make a living from it when I was like 20 or something like that, 19. I was still making a living from it, and it was amazing. I had such an amazing time. But there was something more that I felt was calling for me, and I didn't go to uni. I kind of said to my mom, I was like, mom, look, I don't want it. Just wait a little bit. You know, like, these Filipino women are like, the education is very important, Karen. You must do education. So, you know, she was like really kind of not pushy on that, but a bit like that. So I understand why she was. But yeah, I'm glad I didn't, because within that year, I got like recognition, you know?
Yeah.
I need to dab my face. It's so hot here. My God.
Is it? It's getting very hot here, actually, as well.
It's like, I don't know what it is in Fahrenheit.
I was just about to tell you the temperature in Fahrenheit. And I was like, I don't know it in Celsius.
We are. Hang on. Let me just find out. So I'm like 84.
I am 32.2. It's going to be today.
Oh my gosh, so it's really hot.
Yes.
Do you have aircon?
The aircon is working, yeah.
You're probably all sorted with aircon, but nobody has aircon here, so we're all just like melting.
Like you don't have it at all?
No, I mean, yeah, we have it in like the car, or we have it in like office buildings, but people don't have it in the houses because it never gets this hot.
Oh no, yeah, you must be really suffering right now.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, but it's all right though. It's a little bit hotter in here, but anyway, sorry.
No, you're fine. I also wanted to talk about, there was an X Factor moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was your experience with that machine that is X Factor?
I did it maybe like 18. So I did it 2 years in a row, actually. I was like 18, 19. My manager, who I have now, is actually kind of put me forward for it. I was kind of excited about it. I kind of like a little bit of competition. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would really enjoy it. But in fact, it was very mentally tough. So I did it 2 years in a row. I didn't get very far the first year at all. Second year, I don't know if they do it in America where they have like the 6-week challenge. I don't know if that was like a thing or if they ever had that.
It's like the boot camp or?
Yeah, where they do like 6 seats, then you have to kind of sing for your life and then someone can take your seat.
Oh God.
It was pretty intense. And I got like the first seat, and then there was like 17 girls after me. Then the last girl got my seat. I was incredibly upset, of course. I don't know who wouldn't be, because it's tough. Like, I was sat on stage for 3 hours and people started screaming. They were like, number one, get rid of number one. And that was me. And it was all really intense. And, you know, I'm sure it was great for TV. I don't even think I watched it. I kind of just, what my way in dealing with things like that, because it's happened a few times where it's really painful to kind of deal with the rejection, I think, is I just switch everything off. I remember I just left and I just got the train home, turned my phone off, didn't speak to anyone for like maybe 1 or 2 days, and just totally reset myself, and then just forgot about it. I just have to think, right, it's done now. There's nothing you can change. You just got to move on. So that's like the kind of thing I've always dealt with, like any, you know, hard rejection. And I think like in this industry, it's so important to be able to deal with it. And with the X Factor, again, it just came another rejection. And that just happened to be a stepping stone along the way, you know, that I went through. And it's funny because the second time I did it, I had saved something on my computer. So like I had the song ready like to go, but I didn't have any record label or anything like that planned. So it was kind of funny that the next year they actually called me and was like, they called my manager and they said, oh, like, would Karen be up for going in the X Factor again? And then my manager was like, no, because she signed a record deal. And yeah, you know. You know what I mean? Like I was just a bit like, yeah, do you know what? I can do it without you. People can do it without you. You don't need that show necessarily to make it in as a career.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like we've felt that shift over the years. It's different from the days that Leona won. And now it's almost like they need contestants with a established background already to help them, or it's more about the judges than it is about the contestants. Speaking of music relationships and things like that, what has been your experience with labels?
So I signed Capitol Records with Say Something. That was my first ever record deal. I was absolutely buzzing. They had Sam Smith, 5 Seconds of Summer, like incredible artists. And I was like, oh my God, like, that imposter syndrome of like, do I even deserve to be here sort of thing? And everyone was so excited about the record. We gained so much support and so much momentum. And it all went really well until like we couldn't find the next single after that. I was in the studio pretty much Monday to Friday, like 6 times a week at least. And I was so tired, and then also doing promo and also doing photo shoots, just doing absolutely everything under the sun while trying to get the next single. And I think at that time in my life, I felt too much pressure and put too much pressure on myself. And I learned, like, I think this is the thing, you have to kind of go through it to realize that I was just putting too much pressure on myself. And now I realize that, yeah, you've got to just have a break. Take a couple of days off. There's nothing wrong with that. It's super important. We kind of parted ways. We weren't agreeing on the next single. Happens a lot. You've got to learn to pick your battles. And I picked that battle and I said, I'm not putting that song out, because I didn't like it. It didn't feel like it represented me as a person. And from that moment on, I went independent for a couple of years. I thought loads of people didn't want to work with us anymore because I wasn't signed to a major record label. It felt like quite tough. It's a strange time, and I didn't feel motivated. Well, I felt motivated, but I didn't feel the inspiration, because I was like, I don't have this big machine of a record label behind us. And then I signed to Ultra in December 2019, and I've been releasing music with them ever since. So yeah, it's been going quite well. I just want to release like more stuff that is definitely more me than I ever have before. And I feel like I'm definitely doing that.
Absolutely. I feel like you've really found your groove. Like your name pops up quite a bit, features on, you know, different producers and DJs. I'm wondering, you know, over that time period, if you have any particular standouts or favorites.
Yeah, the collaborations for sure. I mean, a highlight for me is definitely the Stay with La Youth. I actually wrote that. I booked a trip to Sweden to work with some writers that I'd worked with before, and I paid out of my own pocket. I was like, you know what? I need to change the scenery. I just need to write something because I'm stuck here. And we wrote that Stay about feeling lost in music. Like, I just don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, it's so hard work and it's so consuming. And it's kind of like the music chat with me, like having music's chatting with me, and it's saying, oh, like, you know, that I will stay, I'm bound to stay here because there's nowhere else where I feel I can be. That one really, and it always has, it spoke to me because it means a lot to me. And like, especially in that moment when I was a bit like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what should I do? So I'm glad that we got it out and it resonates with people as well.
For sure. And you also, you have contributions as a songwriter as well, different placements. Yeah. One unexpected place that I saw you was on Claire Richards' album from Steps.
Yeah.
Oh, how did that come about? How did that song come about?
I wrote that with the Cutfather team, who've done an incredible amount of songs, like, you know, the Pussycat Dolls, Jamila, like insane.
And Kylie, then get out of my way, I think, maybe. Yeah.
And then Chelsea, who's worked with like Dua, again, Kylie, like all these incredible people. We were in the studio for like maybe a week or something, wrote a load of tunes, and Shame on You was one of them. And I absolutely loved it. I was with Capitol at the time, never quite got there with it. And they gave it to Claire to listen to, and she loved it. And I'm so happy because she like used a lot of the ad-libs that I had. Like she used a lot of like the kind of the approach to the style of the way that it was sang, and she used that, and it was a real compliment to me, because, you know, obviously Steps, yeah, you don't have to say anything more about Steps, but like I love their music, and I also love Claire because she was the singer, so it was incredible to have her do it. And I was actually going to see Celine Dion live at Hyde Park. Claire was supporting her. I totally forgot that I'd written the song on an album, and I was like just waiting with my friend, like we just got a little spot on the grass. And then all of a sudden, Shame On You came on, like the intro came on. And I remember like I jumped, everyone's sitting down at this point. I jumped up and I was like, this is my song, this is my song, everyone, this is my song. Everyone's just like, who is this girl? Please like tell her to calm down. But I was so hyped. And seeing a song you've written, because it doesn't happen to me that much. Obviously, I sing a lot of stuff I write. So singing a song I've written by another artist on like such an incredible stage as well was truly honoring. And it just made us think, do you know what? Like there's actually fun to be had in the songwriting side of it, because that really like just made me feel so grateful for like what I'm able to do.
Absolutely. It's so cool to see you on that album. Another one that you popped on very recently, again, super excited to see your name, was Rijksop Unity.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that come together? And I have to say, being a part of their general aura, talk about legends only. They have all their collaborations. It's, you know, Leaky Lee, Robin, Karen from The Knife. It's so cool to be part of that. Can you talk a bit about how that came together?
So cool. I mean, it was actually during lockdown, they reached out to my management team and asked if I would be happy to vocal this song on their album. And I'd heard of them before, of course. I was actually madly in love with their tune, What Else Is There. I love that tune. I also love the Trent Moller remix as well. That was like how I actually in love with them. When they asked us, I was like, okay, cool. And then the song was super, super, super rough. We jumped on a Zoom call because I was like, guys, like, I think the song has potential, but like, you know, I feel like it needs to just go a different level. And they were like, don't worry, Karen, we got this. And obviously I trust them because sheesh, like they're incredible. So when that came in, I was like, of course, I can't even say no. Even if I didn't like the song. No, of course, I had to like the song. That's the number one thing. But yeah, the guys got on the Zoom call and they were just so nice. They were like so grateful as well that we could just do this together. And they wanted like a 90s kind of classic rave vocal on there. Hence why they reached out to me. And yeah, it was just such an honor. And you know, we worked on the record. I recorded the vocals at home, sent them over, and then they got them just sounding so good. Like, I mean, I know it's been a slight effect so that it sounds like a slightly higher, and but I love it. And you know what? It's funny that that song's just grown and grown on me, and now I just can't get enough of it. I would love to perform with them live. I think that would be an incredible thing to do. But I don't know if they're doing any UK festivals or anything. But their show is also really inspiring, and it was just inspiring to work with them. And then I saw the lineup of who was on the albums, and I was like, oh my gosh! Like I'm literally alongside these incredible artists. So I was just truly honored.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like Alison Goldfrapp. It's just legends. It's amazing. Yeah. We're manifesting that they're going to come by and you'll do some stage shows with them, because that would be fantastic. They're great with that. I've seen them live. They're also so goofy in a very charming way. I did interview them.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what? So you can kind of get what I'm saying. Like, they're just like really chill, but like nice at the same time. Really nice.
Very, very much so. And now we have, most recently, Other Side of Love, which I absolutely adored from the first listen. This one really struck a chord with me. I actually went home and I was in the car with my mother and I had her listen to it. And I was like, oh, I just really love this song. And she was so into it. Her feedback, though, was so funny. She said, I think she should sing rock.
like rock
music, and she just thought there was a style to your voice that would suit belting other rock songs. I was like, I'll let her know. I don't know.
Funny, I used to sing like a lot of classic rock songs when I was younger. Like one of my favorites was Alone by Heart and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I used to go really hard on all that kind of thing. So maybe that's where she can hear like an inspiration. I don't know, in my voice.
I love it. Yeah. But the song, it's so wonderful. Can you talk about the making of that song and why you chose that as a single?
So that song's probably about 6 years old. It's been on my computer. I wrote over a Chris Lorenzo track, actually, which was super rough. It was originally called Diamond in the Rough. It had no meaning at all. It was just a random lyric that came in my head. He texts us back and he's like, Karen, can you just change the lyric? Because I'm not really feeling it. And I was like, you know what? I totally agree. So I got my friend Belle Humble to come around and we rewrote the lyric. And we actually talked a lot about stuff. Like, I'm quite a private person. I don't talk about my personal life that much with people or whatever. You know, I'm just that way. So when we were talking, she just got into a relationship. It was just about to have a baby with this guy. She hadn't been with him that long. She was really worried about family life, relationships and commitment and everything. And I'd been with my partner then, like he's now my husband, but my boyfriend then for like probably like 9 years or something. So I was just kind of talking through all the stuff and just said, like, it's really hard sometimes. And if you can't work through that, then, you know, and you don't see and you think you just want to give up, then it's probably not worth it. But if you can totally just see it working, even through the hardest times, then like you just got to keep going with it. So we came up with the concept of like the other side of love and just being able to get through the really tough times, because everybody has them, you know, and there's so many challenging moments in relationships when like you just think about giving up. So this was about people just turning away. And like, also the first couple of lines are actually about how I got together with my husband. And yeah, it's a really personal song to me. I love performing it and singing it just because, like, I mean every word of it. And I think a lot of people, you know, including you, you know, it's very much, you can hear it in the way that I sing it, maybe, that I really care about the song and that the message is, I'm trying to be as clear as I can.
It definitely comes through in the song. I'm wondering also if you're going to, we have the album coming. Would you say this is the most personal? Or is there more?
There's definitely a few more of exploring the personal. I didn't even realize I was doing it, but when we're getting the songs together for it, I realized I'm actually going to all the songs that I wrote something very personal in, not necessarily all the song, but like a little bit here and there. So yeah, it's there's definitely more personal elements to it than people would have ever heard before. So yeah.
And what can you tell us about the album, sound wise, vibe wise?
There's a lot of stuff on there that it's kind of funny. Like, I haven't really thought about it. Like, I didn't think about a concept. I didn't think about anything like that. I literally just went through all the songs over the last couple of years and just picked my favorite ones. The ones that I've just been sat kind of not doing anything, but I've always loved them. I listen to them like on a weekly basis at least. So it was kind of like, you know what, if these are my favorites, this is what I want to share with everybody, this is what I want to share with my fans. And it kind of came together like that, and the songs are actually starting to sound like really good now as well. We're finishing everything off. Yeah, it's still a work in progress. I think there's still a little bit further to go with it, but the track listing is pretty much almost there.
The song actually came out around the same time as there's been this whole cultural conversation because of Drake and Beyonce around house music now. And it's kind of the perfect time because obviously you sing many house tracks, but you know, there's garage and drum and bass. You've touched a lot of different genres. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship to house music, your entry point to it, and why it resonates with you so much and has carried throughout your career?
I mean, it's funny, I didn't intentionally go into house music. It was just like your mom said, like I was kind of messing around with like rock songs, doing all this kind of stuff and figuring out like where should I be. That was really hard. I think as a vocalist who like loves to sing, you have to kind of pick a lane. And say something just happened to be an electronic like dance track that was also heavily influenced by, you can clearly tell, by R&B and like garage and stuff. So yeah, that's kind of how I managed to slide my way into the house scene. And then everyone was like, "Ooh, who's this? then, you know, we started discussing, got on working together. So in terms of how I like it, I mean, I loved it anyway. I listened to a lot of compilations when I was younger. My older brother used to get them from HMV or wherever and used to blast them out in the car. So we'd be listening to a lot of like even hard dance, like trance, like 130, 40 BPM. And then I'd be listening to Madison Avenue, Craig David, like a lot of that like UK sort of sound and stuff too, alongside Mariah Carey and everyone like that. So it was kind of a mismatch of that. And then the more I've got into house, the even more I love it. Like the more I find stuff that I just think is like incredible. Like I'm a big fan of like Honey Dijon, Disclosure. There's just so many Higgle. There's so many, but that's like a different side to house. But then there's like straight up like Louis Vega, MK, Paul Wolford, you know, they're the kind of like, maybe that's more mainstream. But then I also really, really love things like Chris Lake, Green Velvet, like just the much harder stuff, the techno kind of thing as well. So I love how like there's kind of house music for each day of the week, and it doesn't always have to be the same kind of genre of house music. That's what I love about it.
Absolutely. And your own trajectory, you've really dabbled in a lot of different sounds and genres within dance. Do you have any favorite dance artists of the moment?
Of the moment? Oh, I don't know. It's hard to say unless I looked at playlists, but there's so many amazing things at the minute, like especially in terms of maybe like the upcoming sounds, so electronic, like drum and bass. I really like Nia Archives. And then like somebody, again, like Honey Dijon, like I really love the music she's putting out. There's so many.
For the album, I was wondering, this happens with people, singer-songwriters. Are you hanging tight to songs that have been either offered or considered for other artists, but you said, no, this has to be for me?
I've done that before, and then like being open to actually collaborating. So it just depends if it's the right person who's going to collaborate with us. Like this is a song that I did quite recently that like I feel like I must be on because I just love it so much, and I'm just waiting for the right person to collaborate on it with. So yeah, I mean, I would hold it if it really, really meant something special, but I'm also happy for collaborations. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a Karen Harden record if somebody else felt as connected to it as I was.
Do you have any collaborations that you either still wish to do, or maybe things that two ships passing in the night didn't work out, anything like that?
I mean, there's loads of the passing in the night kind of thing where yeah, I can't quite get there, but my dream is always has been to work with Disclosure and Calvin Harris, just because like I genuinely think would get something amazing, and the songs that I have that I think they would love. But yeah, I'd also love to do a track even like Kelly Lee, Becky Hill. I've been talking to Kelly Lee a lot. I mean, we're good friends, so you know, we chat about it a lot. We send each other other songs, and that's really nice because she's also an incredible vocalist, and I'm just in complete awe of her vocals. So you know, there's nothing but respect for other female vocalists as well, and I'll be always happy to jump on one of that song with them as well.
Yeah, I was wondering, there's dance vocalists, and I wondered, you know, if there's a community among them or if there's any relationship.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I had an hour-long conversation with Alex Mills yesterday. She's talking about music. Like, I'm really good friends with Annabelle England, Camden Cox. This kind of, I mean, to be honest, there is a scene, like we're all just super supportive of each other. There's space for everybody. Like none of us are ever competing against each other. We all sound completely different. We all write totally different songs. So, you know, I mean, even with Kelly Lee, I wrote the Cream song Take Me Somewhere with her. We've had success together before in the past, so I'm sure we'll do something else together again soon.
Do you have any professional goals that you want to, or challenge a marker for the year that you hope to hit, not just for the year but for the future?
There's just so many things, but like what I really want is just to like have the album out, to like to basically say, this is me, you know, this is like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I love. I'm super happy with how things are going at the minute. I'm super happy with like life as well, and I'm super grateful. So yeah, I just can't wait to put new music out. I also can't wait to like gig the album, to do maybe a headline show. That would be something that is just like dream worthy, whether 10 people turn up or 1,000, like it doesn't matter. I guess to work with more collaborations as well, people who I've always wanted to work with, like someone like, you know, like Martin Solveig as well, or even like Duke Dumont, Jax Jones. Like we've almost been there with a lot of them, but it's never quite been the right song. So I think I'm aiming you know, for some more collaborations as well.
I love all that. And I would like all of that to happen. I have one more question, and it's sort of more broad scope. I like to ask this question. What is your definition of success currently? And has your definition of success changed since your debut?
When I was younger, I used to say the definition of my success is happiness. Like, it's just being happy in what I do. I still think that's definitely a definition of success, because, like, honestly, there's times when you're not happy and you've got to make the decision to just change up your life, and it's hard, but it's worth it every time. Now, I would say, like, I mean, to be honest, I don't think it's too far away from that. It's just like being happy in whatever you're doing and also believing in it. Because I think that's when I'm not happy, is when I don't believe in the songs that are coming out, or I don't believe in like what I'm writing is good enough or whatever. Like, I think without that, like self-belief, I think like success will lag behind, and you need it to be like right up there at the front. So yeah, just to be happy in like what you create and what you're doing, whether it's, like I said, like whether it's for like 10 people listening, 100 people, 1,000. Like, I always say that to people, because like, oh Karen, like, you know, my numbers aren't that good, like how do you get your numbers like this, blah blah. And to me, like, I don't even look at the numbers. Like, I don't even, yeah, okay, that's a lie, I look at the numbers a little bit, but like I'm not on there aggressively looking at everything, stats and everything, because it's so damaging if I look at it too hard, and then you get compare too much. And I think just find a place where like you don't compare yourself to anyone, and you're happy in what you're doing, and you believe in it. And I think that to me is like a level of success that, you know, I feel a lot of people could be happy with.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me today, Karen. This was lovely. It was so nice to speak with you.
I really appreciate the write-up as well and the blog. Really love that. Oh. Very, very nice words. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. But thank you for the music. It's been really great. I mean, now you have to make a rock album for my mother, but otherwise.
I'll do it on the side.
Yes. Well, can you just tell the people where to reach you on socials?
Yeah, you can find me at Karen Harden pretty much on everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that kind of stuff. It's all just at Karen Harden, nice and easy. So yeah, I'll see you there.
Nice and easy. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me again. And I really look forward to the album and everything you've got coming up soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That was a great chat. Thank you so much again to Karen for chatting with me. I'm really excited for the album. I'm excited for everything that's coming out. Check her out, everybody.
We stan a dance pop queen.
We sure do. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Yes. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Legends Only.
Yeah.
We will be checking in with you very soon. We've got the after show. Watch out for that on Patreon.
Yes, we are going to be diving into the Chromatica Ball.
Sure will.
In the after show.
Head first.
So it will be spoilered for you.
Yeah.
If you listen, but...
So deal with it.
Yeah.
But until next time...
We will...
See you...
Soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.